Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jorz and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the division rival Detroit Lions. To talk about that game, to give us a little bit of a visitor's guide to the city of Detroit, we have Packers Marty 7 on Twitter, Eric Martinson, Packers fan, joining us on the phone right now. Eric, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Glad you could join us this morning. Now, start us off here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do for a living, and how you became a Packers fan in Michigan.
Well, I've been a Packers fan probably since, I would say, 1989 or so with Don Majkowski and the Cardiac Pack. And ever since then, I've been hooked. My parents grew up in Wisconsin, and it's just kind of been one of those things where it was just, that's the way it was. I was a Packers fan. So, currently, I live in the city of DeWitt, Michigan. It's about 75 miles to the west of Detroit. I'm a project geoscientist here, but pretty much live for those guaranteed 16 Sundays a year. So.
Very good. Well, I think we're all in that same boat. Tell us a little bit about the city of Detroit. I know you're not, specifically in the city, but I mean, in the area, if I'm coming to the game this weekend and I've got Saturday open, you know, what are some tourist attractions in the area I could possibly see?
Well, I think that if you're looking for a kind of a nice place to watch, you know, if you're coming in on Saturday looking for a game to watch college football or whatnot or anything else, there's a couple bars down by the area. Chelly's Chili Bar. It's the bar by former Detroit Red Wing and Chicago Blackhawks, Chris Chelios.
Yes.
It's really nice. It's right next to Comerica, where the Tigers play. On the other side of Comerica, there's the Elwood Bar. That's also kind of a hot spot for watching sports and whatnot. There's also, just to the south, there's a place where I've been. It's called Greek Town. It's really nice. They got a lot of nice restaurants, and I've been there a few times. Detroit actually has its share of casinos. There's a casino right in Greek Town, and then there's one, I believe it's just to the west. It's the MGM Casino. And then even if you go further south, just outside of Detroit in Dearborn, which is, I would probably say about 15 minutes to the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Greenfield Village, and they have like the Henry Ford Museum, and there's all sorts of different exhibits there, modern, automobiles, and there's different sort of, I was actually just looking at the website the other night, and it was, they have Lincoln's chair that he was actually shot in while he was sitting. So they had some cool things. There's an art museum, Detroit Institute of Arts downtown. So, I mean, there's a few things. It's not, I don't know, I guess I wouldn't consider, I'm a little biased, but I wouldn't consider it super exciting, but there's definitely plenty of things to do.
How about around the stadium itself? Is there a place to go drink? Is there a place to go eat before the game or after the game or whatever, kind of around, Ford Field area?
Yeah, Ford Field kind of sits weird because it's kind of locked in by a highway to the north, and then, Comerica is like literally right next to it. So there's really no... The tailgate scene is kind of different. When you think of Lambeau Field, you think of that, the huge oval around where everybody's out walking around. It's not really like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, there is bars. Like I said, the Chelly's Chili Bar is real close. The Elwood Bar is right in between Comerica and Ford Field. There's a, Hard Rock Cafe. right across the street on Woodward. And then there's the Hockey Town Cafe for the Detroit Red Wings. That's really good too. That's right on Woodward. And Woodward kind of runs north and south next to Comerica and Fort Field.
Well, I'll throw out an endorsement for Chelly's there, seeing as he was a hockey player in Wisconsin. So,
but, definitely.
What is the tailgate scene like? I don't know how many games you've been to at Ford Field, but I mean, you know, where do you go to park if you're coming to the game? You're driving from out of town. Can you offer any sort of insight there?
Yeah, well, I think the majority of the parking for the stadium is they have ramps. I believe there's like two ramps, one to the north and one to the east. And I've been to the one game that I've been to, actually at Ford Field, we parked. They'll have like sort of temporary, you know, makeshift game lots that are kind of, you know, you got to walk, I don't know, maybe a few blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being able to park right outside the stadium or, you know, it's a little bit similar to other, you know, even the Packers where you're parking on side streets and whatnot and you're walking down to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, you know, an actual huge parking lot, there really isn't any. You kind of got to just search around and there'll be, you know, people parking behind restaurants and stuff that has temporary parking for the game. It's a lot different than the old Silverdome where it was just sort of a massive, huge parking lot where everybody parked, and then, you know, of course, there was tailgating and things like that. So the last game I went to in 2010 there when the Packers played the Lions, there wasn't, I didn't really notice too much of an actual tailgating scene as far as, like, outside, but there is a lot of bars, and there's a lot of places to actually eat inside Ford Field, too.
So. Okay. You know, give me a prediction for Sunday's game here. What do you think is going to happen? Are the Packers going to be hampered by the loss of Clay Matthews on Sunday? What do you think is going to happen, Eric?
Boy, I don't know. I always get, just from, especially from where I live, I always kind of get nervous when they play the Lions, especially down here. Just because you never know inside that dome. And I think, as long as the Packers can get off to a good start and kind of keep the crowd out of it, the crowd, they'll get depressed. And, you know, I think we'll be okay. I think as far as Clay Matthews goes, I think I'd be a little bit more concerned if I didn't see, I was at the Cardinal game 2 weeks ago and it looked like Desmond Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Was actually, I thought he actually played pretty well, got pressure on Skelton and, a couple more seconds, he would have maybe even had a sack.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be okay. I guess my prediction would be 31-16 Packers. I this game shouldn't be close, but it just, I don't know. I would get nervous trying to pick these games. You never know. Obviously, with 2010, when Rodgers went out, I mean, a much better team, but just one fluke play here or there can switch it and get the crowd actually into it.
I'm there with you. I mean, it's difficult to predict games in the NFL, and any given Sunday, anything can happen. But my prediction is right around in the same territory as yours. I think I went with 35-14, something like that. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so in that territory. Eric, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Railbird Central. Thanks for giving us a little bit of a tourist guide to the city of Detroit. Are you going to the game?
I am not. I had contemplated it, but I don't know. I'm pretty superstitious when it comes to the Packers. And last time it didn't work out so well, so I'm going to try something different this year and maybe just stay home in the comfort of my basement and watch it.
Well, very good. I'll be enjoying the game from the comfort of my couch as well. So enjoy the game, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Eric Martinson joining us here on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV this morning. Thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here this morning. Great to have you as we continue to preview a Packers game here against the Detroit Lions this Sunday. And we got some news to get to this morning. The news of the day, we'll get through all that. We'll talk about this game a little bit more as well. And, you know, right now I'm kind of in the process. Right before the show started here, I'm putting together this morning's Packers Daily Links. And, you know, the top story I think I have today, and I had plenty to choose from. But we talked about Clay Matthews briefly, and we'll talk about him more. But kind of this morning, there's an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Doesn't look like Sam Shields is going to play this weekend. Sam Shields, he's been a guy who's been out for a couple weeks now. I think his injury first occurred during the Houston Texans game, the game the Packers, their most impressive game of the year, being Houston on the road. And I guess you might remember late in that game, Sam Shields kind of got leg whipped by, I think it was a teammate even, and somebody's leg kind of just like rammed into his kind of shin area, ankle area, calf area. And the Packers, they've kind of listed all those injuries, I think, as on their injury report at one time or another. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today saying that doesn't look like Sam Shields is going to play, even though he returned to practice this week. So you kind of maybe got the impression that he was, you know, ready to come back if he's back practicing. But, you know, it doesn't like quite look like maybe he's there yet. And kind of interesting, cornerback is one of the few positions on the team where you almost feel like the Packers could stand to lose someone right now. Not that you're hoping for that, wishing for that, or anything along those lines. But, I mean, there's no hurt, I think, in allowing Sam Shields to rest for another week if it's going to make him feel better, because, you know, they've got Casey Hayward, who's played so well this season as a rookie, you know, has four interceptions, you know, playing out of his mind for a first-year player in the NFL. You know, they've got Devon House, who himself has recently come back from injury and is, you know, starting to round back into form and starting to look better all the time. Of course, they've got Tremont Williams, you know, the guy who's going to be covering Kelvin Johnson, Megatron, this weekend. And they've got Jerron McMillan, who is playing basically the slot cornerback position in the Packers' dime defense, even though he is a safety as well. So they got all sorts of depth there at the cornerback position. So doesn't look like Sam Shields is going to play this weekend. Don't hold me to that. They haven't ruled him out. It could even be a thing where he's questionable for the game. But, you know, if I had to bet money on it, I would say Sam Shields isn't going to play. But, you know, we got all sorts of other news today as well. This whole Kelvin Johnson Megatron versus Tremont Williams Optimus Prime story has taken on a little bit of a life of its own. In an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they interviewed Tremont Williams. You know, it's a big storyline, just him going against Kelvin Johnson this week, you know, because Kelvin Johnson's so good, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. You know, him and Larry Fitzgerald maybe, but I mean, those two are right at the top. And so, you know, big storyline alone. But so, you know, they going on top of that, you know, Kelvin Johnson's nickname is Megatron of the Transformers. And Tremont Williams says he is Optimus Prime. If Kelvin Johnson is Megatron, Tremont Williams is Optimus Prime, who's the leader of the Autobots. I have not even watched Transformers all that much, other than just in passing, and I have not watched the movies at all. So bear with me if I'm getting my Transformers details incorrect here. Bear with me. Please forgive me. But anyhow, apparently it was Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman who first called himself Optimus Prime. I don't know where this all originated, if it took place on Twitter or whatever, social media. But the word gets back to Richard Sherman that Tremont Williams had called himself Optimus Prime. And Tremont Williams also, you know, made reference to the Seahawks struggling, or Tremont Williams saying the Seahawks struggled to cover Calvin Johnson. I think he said they pushed them around. And you know, Richard Sherman taking offense to that a little bit, you know, not like he's mad, but then, you know, Richard Sherman, of course, makes reference to the Packers game against the Lions last year. What, I think it was in Thanksgiving, right? Where Calvin Johnson had over 200 yards receiving, or, you know, there were two games last year, one game in which Calvin Johnson had a big game and the other in which Tremont Williams held him in check. And I can't remember what happened where. Was it, I think it was on Thanksgiving, did they hold him in check that game? You know, some like four receptions for 49 yards, really, you know, pretty harmless that game. And then was it the season ending game at the end of the year? Calvin Johnson has over 200 yards receiving and ends up getting the better of the Packers that game. So one game they hold him in check, don't allow him to be a factor at all. And the next game he, you know, just goes off. And so, I mean, there's your background. Richard Sherman had made some comments. They actually had him on as a guest on the NFL Network's NFL AM program. And that's kind of where he responded to all this. So, you know, it's going to die here, I have to imagine. This isn't going to be a war of words that continues to go on. Maybe it'll come up if the Packers ever play the Seahawks again in the playoffs or something. But it's silly, mostly. But that was a little bit entertaining to follow that storyline yesterday on Twitter, social media. See those guys going back and forth and see these articles and stuff. But so, you know, other news and other items away from the field here. 60 Minutes released a press release, I guess, a statement to the media responding to Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, you know, going back here again, more background information, if you don't know, and I mean, if you're watching this show, you're listening to this podcast, you probably know this already because you're a huge Packers fan, but Aaron Rodgers was profiled on CBS's 60 Minutes, you know, a news magazine type of show that, you know, it has in-depth features on, you know, all items of American culture. And so they profiled Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the biggest names in all of sports, you know, and a guy who's, you know, becoming bigger all the time. And, you know, I'm talking from a national perspective. Obviously, he's a big deal in Wisconsin and Green Bay. But, you know, his profile grows larger all the time nationally, the more he does endorsements and just the more he has success in the NFL. And so anyway, they do the feature, and Aaron Rodgers took exception to the feature in his local radio show he does every week. He was disappointed that they didn't make reference to his work with the Mac Fund. In fact, he allowed 60 Minutes to come take footage from the event he holds every year, which they raise funds. And it goes to fighting childhood cancer, and you know, I can understand Aaron Woodson, you know, saying that, you know, they allow him to, you know, grant him access to the event, first of all, and to not even mention it. I thought, you know, yeah, that's something they could at least mention. Not that they have to go in depth on the topic, on what Aaron Rodgers does for his charity work. But it's something they could mention, at least, I thought, if you're going to go as far as getting footage from the event. But then, I think it was earlier this week, Aaron Rodgers was asked a question by the Detroit media. I think, you know, local phone call, conference call with the Detroit media, something that happens all the time, every week. That they ask him about the 60 Minutes piece. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was asked about Bounty Gate too, and he kind of made reference to that there's perhaps other teams in the NFL that have bounties or at least trying to injure you intentionally. You know, I can't quote him exactly here, but then Aaron Rodgers kind of said he was taken out of context or something about the editing. And so finally, 60 Minutes responded in a statement to the local media, saying basically that, you know, he wasn't taken out of context. They provided the whole transcript of the interview, at least as it was in regards to Bounty Gate, or, you know, players, you know, trying to injure other players in the NFL. And yeah, it does seem a little bit that Aaron Rodgers was a little bit extra sensitive to, at least in regards to that aspect of the interview. I can understand, and as CBS even said, it kind of almost proved the point that Aaron Rodgers is sensitive to, overly sensitive to, you know, whatever criticism he might receive. And, you know, I have to agree a little bit. I said I can understand the whole Mac Fun thing. This thing about Bounty Gate, 60 Minutes, they didn't do anything wrong. I mean, obviously, choices have to be made when you're making a piece like that. You cannot show everything, an entire interview, probably hours worth of footage that they've taken total. You can't show everything. You can't show everything. You do have to make choices and cut things down and only show bits and pieces. And, you know, I think they did a fine job, as far as what they did there. So it does come off as perhaps a little petty that Aaron Rodgers is, you know, criticizing them to the extent he has. That's where I'm at with Aaron Rodgers. A little bit, this whole chip on your shoulder thing, you know, it's time to let it go a little bit here. You know, certainly be motivated. But, you know, as far as taking things to the media, I think you can cut back on that now. You've gone to the point where, you know, you're going to endure criticism just because you're in the public eye. And feel free to let it motivate you, but I mean, you've come to a point of success in your career where I think most people would die to be where you're at in your life. So, just enjoy it. Just keep doing what you're doing, Aaron. Just keep going out and being a good football player and being a good person. Everybody knows you're that, at least those who, you know, follow your career. Like we do here, us Packers fans listening to the show and creating this show. So anyhow, I've gotten to the news of the day here. You know, we can get in here finally a little bit more into the game and talked about it there with Eric Martinson briefly. You know, I think the biggest storyline of this game is the Packers being without Clay Matthews. It hasn't been often when Clay Matthews has missed a game for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, how many has he missed in his career? Has it been like one, two? I know there's been a couple times where he's come out of a game. But, you know, if I remember correctly, did he miss a game in 2010, the Super Bowl season, during the regular season? But, I mean, he is such an integral part of the Packers, you know, as the team as a whole, but the defense in particular, that, you know, can you afford him to be out? And Eric Martinson mentioned, you know, Desmond Moses and being very, enthused about the rookie's play and how he's looking good. And I have to agree. I mean, Desmond Moses, I think, has been the Packers' best undrafted rookie this season, the best undrafted one. And you know, they have like five of them on the team. You got the offensive lineman, Don Barclay and Greg Van Roten. You got the safety, Sean Richardson. Is there anyone else I'm missing? But, you know, he's come out and ever since week one, you know, Desmond Moses has played in certain packages, and yet he only has one sack on the season and, you know, probably has a dozen or so tackles. So, you know, his contributions have been modest, but now we're really going to see what he's made out of. We're going to see what he's made out of and whether he can make a bigger impact now that he's starting, now that he's going to get more playing time other than just the spot duty he's been getting so far. And, you know, there's nothing to me to think that he can't have a bigger impact. I think he will. It's going to be up to him and Eric Walden at the other outside linebacker position to step it up, and those two are going to get the majority of the playing time. They might be spelled here and there by Frank Zombo or the newly signed Vic Sooto. I don't really know how much those guys will play. I think they'll probably play a little bit, but to the extent, I'm not sure. But so Desmond Moses looking to get the start on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. And, if the Lions are going to hold Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson in check, it's up to those guys, Moses and Walden, and not just them, but, for them to put a pass rush on and for the young guys in the secondary to, keep up the level of play that they've been. They've been improving all season. Casey Hayward, Devon House, if they can just keep improving, Packers, they're going to need them to improve if they're going to hold the Lions in check. The Lions haven't been obviously as good as maybe people thought they would, coming off that playoff appearance last year. I think people thought they'd be better. I thought they would. But this is a talented team. I mean, when you got guys like Stafford, Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh, you can't take them lightly. There's a lot of talent there. And of course, that's the other storyline of the week is, Ndamukong Suh going up against the Packers' patchwork offensive line now that Brian Bulaga is gone for the season. We talked a lot about this on Wednesday on Railroad Central, so I'm not going to get into it a whole lot. Of course, Evan Dietrich Smith will be making his first start of the season, and he'll be going up against Ndamukong Suh now and again, even though Ndamukong Suh might be going up against, a guy like Josh Sitton more often. But anyhow, big storyline to follow there, Packers offensive line versus Ndamukong Suh, and really the whole Lions defensive front that is pretty good there. I think the Packers are going to come out of this with a victory. I just think they're kind of hot right now. They're on a roll. I think they're going to keep it going. They might have some struggles coming up in the next few weeks, I think, against perhaps the Giants and the Bears. I think those will at least be tougher games, not to say that the Packers can't win, but I mean, the Packers are, went into the bye on a 4-game winning streak. Now they're getting all these injured players, healthy, got them a little bit of time off. So, we've got John Kuhn coming back from injury. We've got Jordy Nelson coming back from injury. I mean, these are Pro Bowl players, Pro Bowl caliber players, at least, that are going to be important. I think they're going to be excited to get out there again and get some playing time. B.J. Raji resting that ankle, I think he's only going to be better. So, I think these guys are going to want to play and be motivated and break out. And the Packers, they're still behind the Bears in the NFC North, so they want to improve their standing. And the Packers have done it before. They've gone on the road and they've beaten the Lions like they did last year in Detroit. So I think they can do it again. And as long as Aaron Rodgers isn't injured, he's the key to the whole team, I think. As long as he's playing, Packers can be in pretty good shape. So, yeah, they asked me for my prediction yesterday on K107 in Fond du Lac, and I think I said Packers 35, Lions 14. I think that was my prediction. And I know that's a pretty big spread right there, the 21-point win. And that does seem like perhaps a lot, but I think the Packers can do it. I just think, not a whole lot's going to stop this offense, especially in a domed environment. Conditions are going to be perfect. So I look for them to get like 5 touchdowns on Sunday. I think they can do it. Comment from John on the live blog, getting Nelson back this week will help a lot. I think it will as well, to go along with James Jones, Randall Cobb, Jermichael Finley, Donald Driver. I mean, that's a potent attack there, and one that could even be even more potent if and when Greg Jennings returns. I think it'll be when, not if, but, could be a couple weeks yet. So Kevin Lamb says communication will be key for the offense. It is loud in that dome. And yeah, you know, Eric Martinson talked about that. The Packers, if they have success early, you help take the, you know, the fans out of the game. You know, that is a fan base that is used to disappointment. They're used to being quieted, and if they can get down, you know, maybe they get quiet more than the usual NFL fan that you know sees their team as being able to come back. But this fan base is used to being disappointed, so maybe they get quieter faster than usual. Maybe if the Packers can get out to an early and quick lead, we'll see. Everybody here listening to this show, I think, is hoping for that. So enjoy the game, everybody. It's past 9 o'clock. We're going to sign off here on a Friday morning on Railbird Central. Enjoy your weekends. Back from the bye, finally. So finally, a weekend of Packers football here to enjoy on Sunday. So enjoy the game. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all weekend long for all your news needs for the Packers. Thanks for listening, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.